Welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Aphrodite.
And I'm Amira.
And this week, we will be talking about our top five fantasy crushes.
Woo-hoo! I'm so excited.
I feel like this episode was a long time coming. Like, yeah, this episode's been in the making for quite some time.
We've mentioned crushes here and there a little bit, but...
But, okay, let me just to clarify, is this fantasy crushes or fantasy girlfriends or what?
I took it personally as fantasy girlfriends, who I'd want to date, not just who I think is hot.
Yeah. Okay, that's sort of what I did, too.
Okay. We probably should have clarified that with each other.
Okay, so we could call this our, top five fantasy girlfriends in that case.
Okay.
Do you want to start? Do I want to start? How are you feeling?
I can start. If you want me to kick it off?
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do a countdown of our top five.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and forth.
I don't know what Amira's top five is, and she doesn't know mine either.
Yeah, we don't know each other's. I'm sure we could guess quite a few in each other's top. We should have done that. We should have, written it down.
We should have done our breath. Confirm some of my existing suspicions.
Okay.
As we go through.
That's fair. I think some might surprise you.
Yeah.
Okay, can you see my list?
I can't read your list at all. I can't read your list. Okay. My list is facing me, your list is facing you.
Okay, perfect. So, coming in at number five, back when I was watching Pretty Little Liars, I fell really hard for Emily. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I was like, that girl is cute. She is figuring out that she's into ladies. I'm into ladies. This works. And then this crush sort of bled over into the actual actress, Shay Mitchell, especially after she came out in an interview. Well, she didn't give herself a label, but she says that she loves people regardless of gender, et cetera, et cetera. She could date a man, she could date a woman, whatever. And I was like, all I had to hear was, she could date a woman. And that's how I knew that I was in.
Oh my God.
So of course I follow her all over on social media and she is, I don't know, I'm into her. It's one of those things where I'm like, I feel like it's not a crush that some people would expect me to have, or like, it's a crush that people would expect me to have, but not somebody that people would expect me to want to date necessarily. You know what I mean? For sure she's hot, you know, but like, yeah, I like her a lot. So that's my first one. It's a tie technically between Emily Fields and Shay Mitchell.
Yeah. I guessed that Shay Mitchell specifically would be on your list.
I am so impressed that you guessed that.
Except I wasn't sure where she would rank. That was where I was confused. And the reason why I wasn't sure where she would rank is because I wasn't sure, is this a crush list or a lust list?
Right. Okay.
Right? Because if it's a lust list, you know, maybe
she
the ranking.
Yeah. That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
But crush list, five. Okay. Very respectable position. Okay.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Does not surprise me. I will say that, like, I didn't follow Pretty Little Liars you did. Uh-huh. But some of the stuff that Emily fell for on the show would just make me think, is she dumb?
She is. She is very dumb. I mean, all four of them are dumb, but Emily, for sure, was one of the dumbest. I mean, I think Arya was probably the only one dumber than her.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was one of those ways where it was like, ugh, you girls, you'll never learn.
Okay, so you were, like, okay with her, you know, in terms of life smarts, not being totally there.
Yeah, okay. I was okay. I mean, you know, she was a high schooler, which felt weird.
Fair.
Of course, I'm not, like, crushing on a high schooler, you know, I felt better knowing that the actress is not,
I mean, that's the only way you can feel better about crushing on teenagers on
TV.
Exactly. Like, well, no, the actress is older in real life.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
feel a little less guilty about that.
Yeah. But I feel like if I were in high school, I would have had it so bad for Emily. I mean,
I hear you.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure, I would have. As soon as I caught wind of like this one, the one like hottest girl in school just came out. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And she's a swimmer. Like.
Yeah.
Right up my alley. You know, just like the athlete hot girl thing. You know,
kind of
bitchy, like the resting bitch face. That's like a big thing for me.
But Emily strikes me as a legit bottom. Is that? Am I wrong about that?
An interesting question. I feel like she's probably switch. I feel like she's very versatile in the bedroom.
Okay.
You know, like if she's with somebody who's kind of new to stuff and she needs to show them the ropes, she can be a top.
Okay.
But she probably would be fine with giving up control too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying that that's something to think about when you're having a fantasy girlfriend.
That I thought about.
Like if this is somebody who's you're actually going to be dating in your fantasy life.
I do think that we would be sexually compatible.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you for looking up. I didn't think about that.
Okay, so that was your number
five. That's my number five, yeah.
My number five, I don't know if this is going to surprise you or not, Adina. I am surprised.
I'm surprised she's so low.
Yes, and I'm about to explain myself.
Please
so,
do.
The reason why Adina is lower on my list than before is because season two revealed things about her.
Oh, yeah.
She's not as emotionally honest as I thought she was in season one. The thing that was so attractive about Adina is that she was just so open and honest.
Right.
In season one, she like forced Kat to be honest with herself too.
Yes.
And I think Adina really was someone who like was in her identity. This has just been interesting season two, like seeing her not at her best, finding out that she's not as forthcoming with information. She doesn't, like, there are times where Kat had to call her out on stuff. And Adina, you know, was uncomfortable sharing the truth about her past. But I think the main thing that turned me off, and which we didn't really find out until the season finale, is that she's a workaholic. That's a huge turnoff for me, actually.
Interesting.
When,
interesting.
Like, for with dating somebody.
Like, people who put work first ahead
yes.
of their personal
yes.
relationship.
And so that's why, if we're talking fantasy girlfriend, do I realistically want a girlfriend who's working all the time?
Yeah, that's true. You don't.
Yeah. That's why she's a number five.
Okay, so season one Adina would have ranked higher.
Oh, yes. Season one Adina would have been much higher on this list, but I have to account for both season one and season two.
Yeah. That's her as a whole person. You
yeah.
know, when you get to... You know somebody for longer and you get to know them better. So now
yeah.
we've known her for 2 years.
Exactly. I know we've known her for 2 years.
So.
The other thing I was thinking about is, you know, there were a lot of fans who were upset with the way that Adina was portrayed in season two. And they felt like, oh, this is so out of character for her, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So when I think about a character, I had a vision of what I thought Adina was like. And then we're also talking about, are we talking canon characters
right.
or like headcanon characters?
Right.
Headcanon Adina is season one Adina.
Exactly. She's
but,
perfect.
Exactly. But if we're talking canon characters, canon season one plus season two Adina is number five on my list.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. So my number four, back when I was a kid, I started reading the Harry Potter books and grew into the big Harry Potter fan that I am today. And I developed a huge crush on Hermione.
Okay.
Because she's nerdy, she's bossy, I'm into that. And you have to remember, of course, as a little kid, as a little baby gay, I was sort of starting to figure out my attraction to women at the time. And so I was like, it was one of those things where now I can look back and identify it as a crush. But at the time, I would not have said, like, oh, I had a crush
yeah,
on Hermione.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the movies came out.
Yeah.
And Emma Watson graced the screen.
Jesus Christ.
And something happened to little baby gay me when I saw her. And I was, like, obsessed. Aphrodite, I looked up everything I possibly could on my limited dial-up internet connection on the shared family desktop.
I know you did.
I wanted to know everything the internet had to offer about Emma Watson. Which, again, to remind people, I'm like her same age.
Yeah.
So this isn't creepy. This isn't like adult me seeing
yeah.
like a kid on the screen. We were the same age, and I was head over heels immediately. And, you know, and now as she's grown, she's been this like huge advocate for like civil rights and like feminism and all this stuff,
so,
and like super out there. So this slot is yet again another tie between a character and the actress that portrayed her.
I understand.
So it started with Hermione, but it has ended firmly with Emma Watson, not just as a portrayer of Hermione, but as the person that she is.
Wow.
So
I will say I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would not have guessed that.
People who knew me in high school would have easily
guessed that. Okay, okay, yeah, yeah.
Because I was all about it.
Okay, no, but it also makes a lot of sense. And I think part of the reason why I would not have guessed that is because, like, Hermione as a character, like, at least, I haven't read the books, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay.
I did read the books, but I only read 1 and 3.
It's something that I've forgiven.
Okay, thank you.
It's okay. Just don't mention it too much.
Okay, sorry. But I remember Hermione as a character being a little bit annoying.
Yeah, she did start off that way. But
yeah.
I related to her because I was annoying.
Okay.
So I was like, oh my God, that's me. I'm
yeah.
the kid who like annoys people with like my know-it-allness and like trying to, you know what I mean? Like I like that she was like the super nerdy girl who did well in school and didn't care what other people thought of her.
Mm.
And then, you know, like,
yeah.
of course she grew into this like really great, sweet-hearted friend who is like, you know, is so essential to the series. So
wow.
once I saw her on the screen, I was like, yes, for sure. That's her. That's my favorite character. I love her. I love that actress. What's this feeling in my pants? What's going on? Oh my God, I have a crush.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, she's smart. She's outspoken. She's always saving the day. They
yeah.
would not be able to survive as a team without her.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And they left a lot of her accomplishments out of the movies, just so that you know.
No.
You missed out.
Yeah. Okay, respectable choice for a fantasy girlfriend.
Thank you.
Age appropriate one, also.
Yeah. It's important to me.
Okay, my number four, ready for this, Maggie Sawyer. And I had to think real hard about this because this was a fantasy girlfriend list.
Right.
Reasons why I love Maggie Sawyer on Supergirl. First, I felt like she was a really great listener.
Mm-hmm.
There's that scene where Alex sort of slowly comes out to her, and Maggie is just sitting there at the bar, like, listening, looking into your eyes, and,
yeah,
like, doing the head tilt. The head tilt kills me every time. And and she was just so emotionally present for Alex. The other thing I really liked, and this was interesting, there's that moment where Alex kisses Maggie, their first ever kiss, and Maggie rejects her. And she says, you know, you just figured this out.
Yeah.
I've been out for a lot longer, and, like, you should really explore for yourself. And I thought that was such a gracious way to respond.
Mm.
Although there were hints of her being a workaholic from her breakup with her previous
ex. I was going to ask about that. So, I mean, what we always see her doing really in the show is working. And
yeah,
she has a very demanding job.
That's
and a
true.
Very scary, life-threatening job. So
yeah,
is that somebody you would want to, I mean, would you want to date a cop? First of all.
Yes, so that's the, I haven't gone there.
Sorry.
So the difference between her and Adina is that Adina was not, could, like, because she was working so much or because she was, like, unavailable and because Kat was unavailable, she couldn't meet all of Kat's emotional needs.
Yes.
Whereas Maggie was still able to meet all of Alex's needs emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that she was able to be there for Alex through tough times, there's, like, a really beautiful scene where Alex loses her father again.
Yeah.
And then comes home, and I think she's wearing plaid. I think, yeah, Maggie's wearing plaid. And she just sort of, like, holds her and, like, and is
yeah,
just there. So I feel like even if she's busy or even if she's working, the way that we've seen her show up in her relationship with Alex is very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Major
comments.
No-no,
yeah,
is the fact that she's a cop. Like, I personally probably could never date a cop.
Yeah.
Just because, like, you know, I'm, like, all about abolishing the police or whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I had a lot of trouble around that.
Yeah.
But here's the other detail that kept her on the list even though she's a cop.
Okay.
She doesn't want kids.
There it is. That's perfect.
Yeah. Because,
that's perfect.
Exactly. Because I don't want kids. And as soon as it came out that she didn't want kids and Alex did, I'm like, break up, date me.
Yeah.
It was just like, so those two things were, like, working against each other. Yes, she's a cop. I have a lot of confusion and, like, mixed feelings about that. But she,
yeah,
doesn't want kids and, like, she's a really good partner.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Okay.
Wow.
Sorry,
I'm glad I got that.
You got that out.
Yeah. I was holding on to that.
So sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So on to number three. So something I learned about myself while making this list is that I rarely have crushes on just a character. It usually pours over into the actress, or I'll just develop a crush on an actress straight up and,
yeah,
not even care about the character. So number three on my list is actually just an actress. She is an actress that I think a lot of people have a crush on. It's Kate McKinnon.
Oh.
So, yeah. Kate McKinnon is...
She would be so much fun as a girlfriend.
She is, like, 95% of the reason I even watch Saturday Night Live. She is the reason I see any of the movies that she's in. She is just such comedic gold. She's, like, exactly my taste of comedy. Like, you know, my kind of, like, my sense of humor, like, that's what she does. And she's, like, gorgeous, obviously, but she's so talented, and that's what attracts me the most to her.
Yeah.
She's so good at what she does.
She's... basically a comedic genius.
Yeah, yeah. And then her impressions of, like, Ellen,
mm-hmm,
spot on.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, spot on.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Even the GOP people that she's been doing recently. It's just, she's hilarious. I think what sealed the deal for me is when she went on Ellen and, first of all, was just gushing to Ellen about how big of a fan she was. And I was like, oh my God, you're all of us. And then Ellen gave her... She was like, do you want to do your Ellen impression for us on the show? And gave her the outfit that Ellen was wearing right then to go backstage. And so after the commercial break, she came out as, like, literally they're twins.
I remember this.
Came out as Ellen. And then they had this really funny bit where they were, like, going backstage and Portia accidentally on purpose, jokingly walked off with Kate McKinnon.
Oh my God.
And Ellen was like, no, wrong Ellen. And Portia's like, oh, sorry.
Oh, my God.
It was just so, I was like, oh, my God, this is great. Kate McKinnon would be such a good, oh, and the most important thing, why I think she'd be a good girlfriend is because she is so secretive, like, private about her personal relationship life. Like, people have to dig really hard to find out who she's dating, and, like, they don't do anything publicly. And that's what I would be into.
Yeah.
Especially if I was dating a celebrity. I'm like, I don't want any, wow. Like, they can know we're dating. Hard stop. Nothing more.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, the thing is, if you were dating Kate McKinnon, you would be laughing, like, all your days together.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a riot.
Yeah. That's all I ever want to do, is just sit around and laugh.
I know.
Yeah. Plus, I would be, like, a trophy. Like, I wouldn't even have to have a job.
Oh, my gosh.
She would make so much money that I would just sit there.
Yeah.
And do nothing.
Yeah. Wow.
That's my dream, really.
I know. My number three is also rich.
Okay. So- okay. I feel like most of our people are rich if they're actresses.
Maggie and Adina.
Well, yeah,
I'm
the characters aren't, but
yeah.
The actresses aren't.
But
okay, your number
three. That was great.
Thank you.
So my number three is a real person.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited. Your first real person.
This is a real person who is in real life a queer woman of color, and who is in real life rich. Janelle Monáe.
Oh,
Janelle Monáe.
I knew she'd be on your list.
Okay.
I knew it.
So Janelle Monáe comes in at number three. You know that, like, good dancing is a huge turn on for me.
Yes.
Can Janelle dance? She can dance. She can sing. She's a genius. She's an artistic genius. She's
and she makes the
brilliant.
Music for dancing too. I mean, it's like the full package.
Yeah.
You'll get it with her.
She's incredibly talented. She's very heartfelt. Basically, post coming out Janelle Monáe. Like, pre coming out Janelle Monáe, nah. But like, once she came out and she started talking more openly about this album and about what it means to her to represent her community, definitely, like, in real life, I would.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if she would even look at me. Like, if she would, like, if she would just, like, which she did because I met her.
Yeah.
I met her at the Detroit pop-up event. She, she I got a poster signed by her. I was gushing. She's, like, stunning in real life also.
I bet.
And, like, so gracious with fans. Like, just there says, listen. She listens. She says thank you. And she really cares that the work that she puts out there matters to people. Mm-hmm. One thing that I did think about is, like, okay, so she's super talented, but she's also super private. And that's a little bit of a turn off.
Oh.
If I want to be a trophy wife or a trophy girlfriend, I want you to flaunt me around.
Well, I mean, you're gonna be seen at events together.
Yes.
So it's not like, it's more just like, they're not posting stuff about you constantly.
Oh, no.
On, like, Instagram. That kind of stuff.
So she came out, but not as dating Tessa Thompson.
Right.
And that was kind of like, but why not?
I mean, maybe that was Tessa Thompson's, I mean, you know, they probably talked about it.
I'm sure that they did. Yeah. I'm sure that they did. But even when I went to her show, and when I went to her pop-up, she does have a guard up, and I think that's because she's a celebrity, right?
You
have to keep up some kind of barrier between you and the public or your fans, and so I respect that, but it also means that in some ways, we never get to know the real her.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a really good pick.
Okay,
I wasn't surprised by it at all.
Okay, good. The three people I've named, you would have guessed?
I would have guessed they would all be on
the
list.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, my number two is someone that you would easily guess. Mm. And I have to say that I didn't necessarily have a crush on this person when I first saw her grace the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But after getting older and seeing how she is in real life and meeting her, I can say definitively I have a huge lesbian crush on Lucy Lawless.
Wow. Yeah.
For sure.
Oh my
For
gosh.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And just to clarify, the reason I didn't have a crush on her as a kid is because, well, one, I didn't realize what crushes were when I liked girls when I was that young and watching Xena on TV. But two, I have just always had a thing for blondes, and I was immediately attracted to Gabrielle more than Xena. Like, I thought Xena was super cool and I wanted to, like, be her.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, lustful feelings, that was reserved for Gabrielle. So when I got older, it was just, I was all about Lucy. And now she is firmly in my number two spot. I think she's an amazing person. She's a phenomenal actress. I still hold a grudge against Amy Poehler for putting Lucy Lawless in Parks and Recreation and not giving her a bigger part. Mm. Does she even know what that woman is capable of?
Yeah.
I mean, God, I'm seriously, I could get upset about it talking about her right now. Seriously, like, that woman is, like, her talent knows no bounds.
Yeah.
She is a phenomenal actress. And, like, just in real life, all of her, you know, charity efforts and stuff, like, she's great. I follow her on social media. You know, you and I got to meet her at the last ever official XenaCon, the 20th anniversary. And it was amazing. We got a picture with her together. I barely even remember what we said to her because both of us kind of blacked out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we tried to piece it together afterwards.
Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Didn't she smell nice?
She was
music
amazing.
Playing.
Yes.
Was it Michael Jackson or Motown? What was playing?
I don't know. It was some dancey music she had playing during the photo shoot. And then, like, we go up and we were, like, dancing up to her. And she was dancing. She was wearing this great...
The leopard print bra.
Yes, a see-through shirt. You could see her leopard print bra. And it was hot. And she's so gracious with the fans. I mean, as a Z-Knight, I'll be the first to admit, Z-Knights are fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, we are a lot. I mean, that Xena convention was full of, like, middle-aged lesbians with rat tails and mullets and, like...
They were all
the
crying.
The personalities that you would expect go with that, you know? Mm-hmm. We're part of the weirdness, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that it's, you know, it's them and not us. So, I mean, they have to deal with a lot of people, like, crying and telling them how much Xena meant to them and blah, blah, blah. And Lucy takes it all in stride. She is so there for us. And she loves what she's done for... the queer community, for the Xena fandom. She's just so gracious and, like, amazing. And
obviously, I'm a Xenite. I love and appreciate Lucy Lawless. In the, like, early 2000s, 90s, when Xena was on the air and lesbian, and there was this huge lesbian following, anyone in Lucy's position might have distanced themselves from the lesbian fans.
Yeah.
Or they might have treated, like, the fan fiction and the fan intensity as, like, a gross thing to not want to associate with. But the fact that Lucy respects and honors what the fans took from the show, and instead of, like, pushing fans away, brought us in closer.
Yes. Yeah. They embraced our fandom and took it, like, put it right into the show. It was fantastic.
And that's why Lucy and Renee's following is so hardcore, because at that time, lesbian fans were rejected by celebrities or by the showrunners or whatever. This was the first time that the actual actresses were welcoming of the fact that they had intense, hardcore lesbian fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that speaks very much to Lucy's character. I am surprised that she was not your number one.
I don't think you will be surprised by my number one.
Okay. Then we'll see what happens. My number two is Kate Blanchett / Carol. Okay, so...
I'm so happy. I was like, is she going to say Carol or is she going to say Kate Blanchett? Because I feel like she likes Kate Blanchett in other things, but Carol specifically is a big thing for her, so
yes.
I'm glad you also did the tie thing, so you get it.
Yeah, where, like, yes, is Carol seductive as hell? Yes. Is she, like, a fantastic flirt? Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so is Kate Blanchett. Kate Blanchett is a flirt, okay?
Oh,
she's just teasing us, and she's also rich.
yep. Carol's not doing too bad either.
I know. Carol, like, even when Carol got divorced, I'm like, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Kate Blanchett, style up the wazoo.
Oh,
like,
my.
She's a fashion icon. Mm-hmm. In recent years, we've seen so much of her in blazers and suits, which is super queer.
Yeah.
Watching Ocean's 11 and seeing her clothes, my eyes were just watering because she's wearing that powder blue suit. Carol is a mom. I don't have a problem with moms. I like moms.
You just don't want their kids.
Yeah, but she's already let go of her child.
Oh,
so so she has perfect visiting rights with Rindy.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't have to co-parent or anything like
Right.
So she's definitely a top pick for that reason.
And she's definitely a top.
Yeah, she's a top. Kate Blanchett / Carol is top. Her clothes, her mannerisms, the way that
she
walks
talks
and moves, her voice. She is the stuff of lesbian dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I had a crush on Kate Blanchett long before Carol happened.
Yeah. I know. That's why I wasn't sure if you were going to put just her as the actress or Carol.
Oh. Well, like, I think Carol solidified it because, okay, if you go onto my old hard drive on the computer that I grew up with, there's a folder in there called High Res for High Resolution.
Uh-huh.
And inside the folder for High Res, there are photos of basically celebrities and, like, women.
Yeah.
And there's a specific subfolder for Kate Blanchett. I remember exactly the photo where I, like, fell in lust with her.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like a drag queen. She's got her head tilted back and you can see her neck stretched out, and she's got this, like, gold strap as part of her dress, and then her hands are just, her wrist is limp and her fingers are just sort of hanging there, and she's looking out into the distance.
Oh,
it's like
God,
such a diva pose. It's
just
like very casually elegant and powerful. That was the first photo I saw of Kate Blanchett where I was like, but when Carol came out, I was like, oh my God, I've waited my whole life to see her play gay. Like, I've waited my whole life for Kate Blanchett. to play gay. And like, I'm also into older women. And so the fact that she was also playing this older woman who's into a younger woman,
yes,
fed into my fantasies.
Exactly.
So
put yourself in that position.
Yeah, which is part of why Carol is part of this ranking, because
yeah,
Carol is dating a younger woman, and yeah, I could be that younger woman.
You could. You
yeah,
easily could.
Okay, so that's my number two. That's my number two.
Okay, we are at the end of our list, the very top.
Oh my god.
Number
oh my
one.
God. Oh my 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 god.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
Okay, my number one person is yet another tie between an actress and a character
that she
portrays. Are you ready?
Okay.
Carmen from The L Word.
Oh my god!
Of course. I cannot tell you. Okay, so when I was in high school, I came out. I was a theater gay. You know, there's sports gays, whatever. You know, I was a theater gay. Okay. So an older lesbian in theater took me under her wing and was showing me a lot of, you know, the ways of the lesbian.
Yeah.
And not in a romantic relationship kind of way, purely platonic. She used to rent The L Word from Blockbuster. This is like the most dated sentence I could possibly say.
Wow, renting The L Word from Blockbuster.
Yeah, she used to rent The L Word from Blockbuster. So like in high school, you could have seventh period was optional, but theater or any after school activities started after seventh period. So if you only had six periods, you would just wait around until after school activities started if you had to, you know. So we would, during seventh period, we would sit in the wood shop of the theater. Both of us did sets.
Wow.
We built the sets.
Wow, wow.
I mean, this is like the gayest of
gay
things,
really,
right?
This is like definitively like early 2000s gay growing up.
I know. We would sit in the wood shop and watch The L Word on her laptop and catch up because I was behind, you know, so we're watching it from the beginning. And when Carmen came on the screen, I was like, oh my God. I had it so bad for her. I was like, no one is good enough for her. Shane is not good enough for her. Mm-mm. No one on this earth Mm-mm. is good enough for Carmen. I was floored.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine high school me. I was like, this is the most attractive woman I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, at that point.
Oh,
I was like,
samesies. Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, she's wildly attractive. She's into, like, monogamy and being faithful. Birds, Shane.
Oh
Birds.
My God. Jesus.
So, you know, of course, I was like, this is everything I would want in a girlfriend.
My God. Yeah.
And then when Shane left her at the altar, I was so heartbroken and vowed to support her in any endeavor. And I definitely, like, let that,
you know,
leech over into just Sarah Shahi as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
So I've loved her in everything she's done. And I feel like she's one of those actresses that makes things sort of, like, inherently queer when she does it.
Is this Carmen / Sarah Shahi?
This is Carmen / Sarah Shahi as my number one pick.
Okay.
So I loved her in Person of Interest, which was very much like Xena, where, you know, the fans were seeing a queer love story starting between Root and Shaw, and the Shoot ship fandom was born, and I'm so glad you brought me on that ship because I loved it.
You're welcome.
So they finally hooked up. It was like the main romance story of like the whole show. Like no other people got romance stories like that. Only the queer ship.
Yeah.
And it's all other straight people on the show. Like that was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I have also started watching her show Reverie. I shouldn't say I started watching it. I finished the first season. I like it mainly because of her. Because I just think she's like, she's a good actress. I like that she is representing, like, you know, Middle Eastern representing, even though she's Persian and I'm Europe, we're technically different.
Okay.
I'll take what I can get.
Close enough, all things considered.
Yeah, and I love when she talks about, like, you know, getting that kind of representation and, like, trying to be cast for those roles. And, like, recently you and I also met her and got a picture with her.
At Klexicon.
Wow. It was the stuff of dreams. Her arms were amazing. She was wearing a shirt that was just a little bit too short, and we know she did it on purpose.
I know.
It
was like a slinky halter crop top.
God,
we could see all of her body. Like, it was
amazing.
Just like, she did it for the lesbians. She was like, this is for you.
She did.
This is for you, ladies.
Exactly. Yeah. So we got a picture with her and Amy Acker, and of course, I let you stand between them because I knew that you really liked Amy Acker as well. And I was like, I'm really just here for Sarah Shahi. I'm not going to lie. So I stood on the outside.
Damn.
You were in between them and I stood next to Sarah Shahi because I was like, you're the only one I want to touch.
So here's the thing that surprises me, because Sarah Shahi would not surprise me as the number one person on your lust list.
Ah.
But I wasn't sure if she would make it
It was after hearing her talk at Klexicon that I think that it solidified it for me that I liked her as a person as well, and that I would like dating her.
Yeah.
Also, she posts these workout videos on Instagram, and it's fucking hot. Okay. Damn. Like, I know that's more on the lust column.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm just like, I like your life and everything that you do. Yeah. And she's just, she's great.
I love that at Klexicon she was just swearing and she didn't care.
Yeah.
She was like sexually explicit, making these racy jokes about Root and Shaw.
Yeah.
And we were like eating it up.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, so like at Klexicon during the Root and Shaw panel, or sorry, during the shoot panel, where Amy Acker and Sarah Shahi are there, they screen questions before you can ask them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this because I asked them a question. And it's because they're trying to make sure that everyone's questions are appropriate, right? But what was hilarious is that everyone's questions were appropriate, but Sarah Shahi was not.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
She
was
just, so I feel like she would be fun to date.
Mm-hmm.
She would be fun to date.
She's a riot. I feel like, her persona, and it doesn't feel like it's an act that she puts on for fans. Like, I feel like that's really genuinely her. And I only say that because I follow her on social media, and I just feel like she never turns that off. Like, that's just
how she is.
Exactly. And I told you how I ran into her. I almost literally physically ran into her in the hallway because I was like rushing to get money from the ATM to get somebody's autograph. Nefessa Williams, actually, of Black Lightning. And as I'm like going away from the ATM, I look and I see Amy Acker, and it was like this weird moment where my brain was like trying to speed up to figure out what I was seeing, and she's like, we're making eye contact the whole time, and I was like, oh, hi. And she kind of laughed and was like, hi. And Amy Acker is very, very shy, like in real life, just so that people know. And so I'm like, she's like continuing to walk with her like handlers or whatever, you know, the Klexicon volunteers. And I keep walking down and I'm like totally rubbernecking to stare back at her. And then I whip around just in time to see Sarah Shahi. And I literally, guys, I almost like knocked right into her. And I'm sure she would have knocked me over because she's so strong. And but like I almost ran into her and I was like, oh, sorry, and she just kind of laughed and like kept walking, and I was like, oh my god, I can't
Sarah Shahi is even hotter in real life.
Oh my god, she's incredibly attractive. She, I mean, just facially, she's one of the most attractive people I've ever seen,
and her skin is dewy as fuck. Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh
damn,
she's great.
Damn,
she's
okay.
Great. Yeah, okay, so that's
excellent.
My number one.
Excellent pick.
Yeah,
okay, get ready for this.
Yep.
My number one is Asami Sato.
Oh, yes!
I know.
Yes!
Asami Sato from Legend of Korra.
I've been waiting for this.
I know. She's the only person on my list who's an animated character.
Yeah. But I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she is the ultimate fantasy girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Okay? The ultimate. First, she's queer and Asian, like me.
Perfect.
And, like, I'm into that. Like, we could be, like, the Gaijin power couple. Korra, you know, like, I get why Korra and Asami work together, but, like, I was never into Korra. Korra is, like, a mess, you know?
Yeah.
She's, like...
She's pretty hot-headed.
Yeah,
she's
hot-headed,
you know,
especially in those early seasons.
Yeah.
But, like, Asami Sato, like, this girl has it together.
I know.
She's rich, also.
Yep.
She's brilliant. She's, like, extremely intelligent. She builds technologies. She's like, I guess she runs
future industries.
She's super caring and thoughtful. So Korra went through some traumatic stuff on Legend of Korra, and Asami just like showed up, and Asami even offered to follow Korra wherever she needed to go.
Yep.
So Asami was basically willing to drop everything to go and be with Korra and take care of her.
Yeah.
Asami is just like in emotionally supportive. She's a caretaker by nature. She's very nurturing. The way that I think she looks out for a partner, in the way that she takes care of Korra, like there are times where she like where Korra's having a moment and Asami just sort of comes by and brings her tea, you know? And
yeah,
it's just like
She's
just super duper thoughtful. I feel like she would make the best girlfriend ever.
I think she'd be a fantastic girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's a really good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like she also had to be in some ways my number one because I guess in my fantasy life I end up with another Gaijin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in my fantasy life I end up with another Gaijin who's not just any Gaijin but like a power queer. Asami Sato is a power queer.
Yes.
She can kick ass.
Oh yeah.
She can
kick ass,
take names. She's also like she can develop the technology to like take over the world, but she's not gonna do that because she cares about people.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
she uses her power for good.
Yeah.
And that's hot as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean one thing is that she's technically a weapons manufacturer. Like
minor detail, possible copy.
Yeah, but I will say that she inherited the company from her father, who started much of that, at least in Turf Wars, the comics.
Yeah.
She's using her brains and her technologies to do social good, and I think she would turn
that's true.
Around.
I think that, we already saw her kind of turning the company around from her father's initial very violent
Sorry, I'm like, technically she's a weapons manufacturer. Okay. Yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm not sure. Yeah, but I mean, no. I think she's a good person and she does good, and she's very smart. She's obviously attractive. I know it's a cartoon, guys, but like,
she's hot.
She's hot. Yeah. She is hot.
She's really, really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
That's an excellent choice for number one. An excellent choice for you specifically.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed.
Thank you very much.
So we have finished our top five list, but we do have a few more honorable mentions, and these are going to be really quick. So I'm going to rattle off mine.
Okay.
So a couple of these are my childhood crushes, and I was so happy to see these in memes everywhere. That's like, if you like these people, then you're probably gay. Like, Miss Honey from Matilda.
I understand.
Kimberly, the Pink Power Ranger.
I understand, too. I understand.
I was the Pink Power Ranger as a kid. And I'm sure my parents were like, oh, that's great. You have a good role model. And I was like, no, I have a crush on her.
Yeah.
You
know?
And then, of course, Gabrielle from Xena.
Yes.
I also have a list of style icons because both of us are into femmes. And I feel like there hasn't been a lot of butch representation. Or any really.
So this isn't your fantasy crush.
So these aren't my fantasy crushes. These are literally like, aesthetically, I'm like, I love your style, and I'm like, after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
Okay, so Ashlyn Harris, who is a goalkeeper for the U.S. national team. She is like,
this is a soccer player.
Yeah, she has butch swag written all over her. She like shows up in the finest suits.
Yeah.
Her hair is amazing. She used to be like hashtag long haired butch and then cut it recently, which I respect long haired butches, but I mean, I have short hair personally, and I'm always, like, having a crush on, like, short hairstyles, you know?
Yeah.
And her hair is, like, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you know what they say about, like, queer crushes, especially when you're just figuring out, do I want to be her or do I want to date her?
Exactly.
That kind
of confusion. Exactly. Yeah. 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 I also really love Samira Wiley. I think that she's so fluid in her gender expression, and I'm definitely more on the butch side.
Yeah.
But I love when she does go out looking more butch or dress up more butch.
Yeah.
She looks phenomenal. I mean, she looks great in a suit or a dress, but like, anyway, Sarah Ramirez post haircut.
Wow.
Studly stud McMuffin. Oh my God. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's
gorgeous. And then last but not least, of course, the original Ellen DeGeneres. I just have to, you know, I'm like
the sneakers with her like
it's like it's ridiculous that like literally it's like this old white lady, like that's who she is. I mean, like, she's just so cute. Everything she wears, I'm like, that is so, I like subconsciously look for that when I'm shopping for clothes.
Yeah.
And now she has like clothing lines and like home decorating.
Yeah.
No. So I'll find myself liking something and be like, oh my God, it's by Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
And I love her hair. I just love everything about her.
Wow.
I'm jealous of her. She's married to Portia de Rossi.
Liddell.
Who is also somewhere on my crush list.
Yeah.
BT Dubs.
I know.
Anyway, so those are my style icons. I love their aesthetic. I love what they have going on. That's my honorable mentions list.
I love that you had not only an honorable mentions list,
yeah,
but like a style icons list. Like, no, I really do.
Thank you.
Because for me, all the people I made on my list, I want to be them and fuck them.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I'm like, I want both.
You're going to, like, share clothes. Like,
yeah, like, I'm into that. I'm like, yes, like, I want to borrow your clothes.
Right.
So, I actually, I didn't know we could name multiple people on the honorable mentions.
So sorry.
No, don't apologize for that. But I didn't know that we could do multiple people, so I just had one.
Okay.
And the one person on my honorable mention list is someone who would be pretty high up there on my lust list. Mm-hmm. But it's Charlize Theron / Lorraine Broughton on Atomic Blonde / Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay. I kid you not. I almost had that as a three-way tie on my top five list.
Really?
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I couldn't date her. That's the thing.
No, that's why she's not on the list. She would be number one on my fantasy lust list, not my crush list.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
Because, like,
oh my God.
Charlize Theron / Lorraine Broughton on Atomic Blonde / Furiosa are combined the ultimate top. Like,
oh,
the ultimate top.
I know.
And I think that's super hot. They're yeah. like, they could beat me up, and I would say thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I'm like, please just push me down a flight of stairs. Like, I would be so, I'm just, oh my God. She's incredibly, incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like, ultimate top. Mm-hmm. Ultimate top of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, I was like, you're on my honorable mention list. I don't want to date you. I just want you to ruin my life.
That's good. I'm glad like, she was mentioned. I'm really happy. Because I was thinking about it and I wasn't sure. I
was oh like, my God. This was so much fun.
This was fun. Yeah. Yeah. This is a good idea.
Okay. So, next week, we'll be talking about the ships to end all ships. We'll be talking about our favorite ships of all time.
Yeah. Past and present.
Past and present. And there are a lot of contenders mm-hmm, for this mm-hmm. category.
It's going to be tough to narrow it down.
It's going
to
be really, really
tough. I don't know how many we can come up with. We'll figure out a number later.
Yeah, we'll figure out the number, but we're going to be talking about our favorite ships of all time.
Yes.
Are we including ships that have just one person of color?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so okay, our favorite queer women of color ships of all time.
Yes.
So it can include one or two women of color
right.
in the ship itself.
Perfect. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'll be next week.
I love this. We're going to have so much fun. I love these countdowns. It gives me like a rush of adrenaline.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going to be number one? You know? Tune in next time.